Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
All the world will be your enemy, prince with 1,000 enemies. And whenever they catch you, they will kill you. But first, they must catch you. Digger. Listener, runner, prince with a swift warning. Be cunning and full of tricks, and your people will never be destroyed.
Hello, you are listening to Just Films and That. This is the podcast where we talk about films we think might be underseen or underrated. I'm your host for this week, Josh Hallam, and I'm joined, as ever, by my wonderful co-host, Alice Oliver. Alice, how are you doing? You okay?
I'm all right. I've got a little bit of a cold. Just going to preface that in case I sound a bit, in case instead of sounding raspy and sexy, I just sound gross and full of phlegm. So just letting you all know, listeners.
Okay, I'll put it in the notes for the show. If anyone's listening to this because they think Alice sounds raspy and sexy, it is phlegm working its way through her chest.
That's exactly it. That's exactly
so, Alice, that was a lovely little reading you did at the start.
Oh,
there.
Thanks. I just couldn't help myself. I love it so much. It was from this week's film, which is Watership Down from 1978.
From 1978, indeed. So, spoiler warnings if you've not seen it. If you were particularly interested in that passage from the film, well, we spoiled it because Alice really wanted to do that reading, and I think she smashed it out of The Warren.
Oh, nice. Rabbit humor.
We are talking about Watership Down from 1978. So, Alice, obviously you picked this one. So tell the guys at home why you picked it and a little bit about what's it about for those who haven't seen a very famous film.
So Watership Down, it's the story of a group of rabbits who leave their warren because people are coming to destroy their home to build houses on the land. So they go on a journey to find pastures new, but of course it's not all that easy, and they meet various obstacles along the way, such as dogs, cats, rivers, traps, farmers with guns, and other rabbits living in a fascist regime. So the main reason that I picked this film was just because I wanted to talk about it, which is somewhat a category that we do sometimes. You know, we obviously aim for the underrated, underseen, but sometimes if we just really want to talk about something,
the self-indulgent,
then we got to talk
week.
About
That's
it.
What it is,
it is a little bit. I mean, the way this episode started as well, like, come on. But having had such great difficulty trying to find this to watch it for the podcast, I am also going to argue that it is a little bit underseen. And I don't know how or if modern audiences are able to go back and watch this. So, listeners, I had to watch this on YouTube, and it
As
was a shitty, grainy version, and I was fuming, right? I have a lot of the streaming services, and I'm always looking on there, and I'm always happy to pay for the media that I consume. So to not find it on any of them, I thought, was a massive surprise. I don't think it's underrated at all. Like, it's got quite good scores. Right. Box office-wise, I did have a little look, and it sort of made just over its budget, so it certainly isn't a commercial failure. But it cost about $2.4 million, and it made just over $3 million. So it did make it back, but it's not like making massive bucks sort of thing. So, Josh, had you seen Watership Down before?
Well, there's me starting the episode saying, if you haven't seen this very famous film, I don't know if I have seen this very famous film. So I've definitely seen bits of it. I knew the plot. I knew Bright Eyes. I knew some of the cast and all that. So I wonder if this is one of those films that I have seen bits of, but it's so part of particularly British consciousness that it's just bled into me over the years, and I've sort of absorbed it in other ways. The same way I imagine people are, or certainly are these days, with like Billy Elliot or the Full Monty or something like that. So yeah, I've never made a point as a graddle of watching it from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly don't know if I've seen it before. I obviously knew bits about it, but no. So I'd probably say I hadn't seen it in terms of sitting in one viewing. I wonder if this is going to become one of our sort of category that keeps coming up, which is a lot of people have seen it, but it's going to be forgotten.
Yeah, it's sort of getting,
do you know what I mean?
Getting left in the past, sort of thing.
That's where I wonder where it's going. So no, I hadn't seen it. If I had seen it, it wasn't since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And like you say, it was difficult to get hold of. I imagine I watched the same copy on YouTube as you did.
Yeah, disappointing, man.
Yeah, so. Well, let's get into it then. Obviously you've picked this one. You just want to talk about it. I imagine there's a lot of Alice Oliver nostalgia coming my way here.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about it. What do you like about Watership Down? Is it the lovely fluffy bunnies? Is it the big dogs that try and kill the fluffy bunnies?
It's actually, in this one instance, it isn't the dogs in this film that I love. And
very
it is
much the
more,
villains of this.
They
the
dog, are a
the
little
dogs
bit.
And the cats and the humans and the cars and the machinery.
Yes, exactly. But no, it is all about the lovely fluffy bunnies. So I love the concept. Like, I was obsessed with Farthingwood as a child, and this isn't a million miles away from that. Mm. And in fact, when my dad taped this off the telly, because of course he did, and told me about it, he described it like being like Farthingwood. So you can imagine how excited I was to watch it. But then even I felt at a very young age at which I saw it that this was quite a bit darker than Farthingwood, and I wasn't quite expecting that. I love like the rich lore and like the mythos that's expressed around the rabbits and their place in the world in the prologue at the beginning especially. And I love the animation around this. So much so, in fact, that I do have a Lord Frith tattoo on my arm. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that. Maybe I'll take a picture of it and we can put it up on social.
Top of the arm, is it?
It's on the back of the top of my arm.
Right, okay, so it's not one you'd see, obviously.
No, yeah, so sort of behind, and there are a couple of rabbits on there as well. And it's interesting because, like, I wouldn't consider this one of my favourite films. Like, I don't even think it would fall into my top 10, like, if I made the list, but there was just something about it. Sometimes you see a thing or you think about a thing, and as a person who does have a lot of tattoos, you just think, well, I'm getting that. Like, I'm getting it, and there's no two ways about it. Like, I've got an Attack on Titan tattoo on my arm as well, but it isn't of one of my favourite characters. It's just of a very particular moment in the show that I was like, that's fucking amazing. I need to get that on me, sort of thing. So it's weird how those things sort of have an impact on you. But yeah, so I've got Lord Frith on my arm, and I got Ymir from Attack on Titan on my other arm, in case you wanted to know, listeners. So the art style at the beginning of Lord Frith and all those animals, it's just really unusual and quite surreal. And I really loved that. And obviously in contrast to then what we get for the rest of the film. And I like all the kind of rabbit politics and the exploration into different rabbits' roles within their respective warrens. You know, we've got captains and generals. We have some rabbits who are favoured over others. Some are stronger, some are weaker. And I liked all the world building that revolved around that sort of thing. Music-wise, so I think the score is very evocative as well. And I absolutely fall to pieces whenever I hear Bright Eyes. So obviously I'm trying to watch this film and Ollie was sat next to me, but I missed most of the sequence of the film when that song was playing because I was crying so hard. So I had my hoodie on. So then obviously I wrapped my hood around my eyes so you couldn't see that I was crying. So that was a shame. Again, not that he's ever made me feel bad about crying at anything. That's just my own sort of embarrassment coming into play there. But I love the music and I love that song. And I think it really adds a lot to the film. And then there are just some moments in this that really punch me in the gut, sort of thematically and visually. And it's mostly around the rabbit on rabbit violence that we get quite a lot of and the way that this is depicted. So don't get me wrong, the sequence where Captain Holly is recounting the trauma of his warren getting filled in and the rabbit suffocating to death is horrendous. But there's something about the rabbit-on-rabbit violence that just feels so much more sad.
The wound work stuff towards the end and all that sort of stuff. Yeah,
it just feels tragic. And, like, I know that animals hurt each other and kill each other in the wild. Like, I've watched so many David Attenborough documentaries. You know, my favourite animal are orca, and they are mean bastards, so I get it. But I just find it brutal, and it has such a massive impact on me even now. And I wonder if some of that is because obviously the way we view rabbits, like you've said, cute, fluffy, little, you know, they're pets for a lot of people, you guys as well.
They're not cute and they're going through your fucking laptop charger.
No, I'm like, we're tearing up your carpets. So it's just interesting to get. It'd be like if a similar sort of film, like based around puppies, and puppies were doing that to each other, that sort of thing.
I think it's an interesting point you make there about the animal on animal violence. A lot of people will say, you know, they can watch all the war films in the world of men blowing the absolute shit out of each other, but as soon as you bring a horse getting hurt,
Or the dog.
And I think a lot of it comes down to, a lot of it just comes down to people love animals. I think that's probably the simplest explanation. But there is also an element of, I think when human beings do it to each other, for the most part, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Whereas animals, it's all instinct, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think there's such vulnerability there as well, because obviously the way that, you know, being the apex predators that we are, like, we are very aware and we can rationalize things and contextualize things, and even, you know, we can understand to an extent why certain things happen, but animals can't as much. I'm not trying to downplay animal intelligence, of course.
You're saying
not,
they're like thick. Yeah.
They're just thick as shit. They're all big dummies. There's just something about that. And then obviously, like you say, just for a lot of humans, our relationship with animals is one of thinking, oh, I need to look after you. Yeah. You're cute and vulnerable, so I need to take care of you, sort of thing. Yeah, but those were the main things that I liked about it. I did watch this film very young, probably too young, I think, really, when you go back and watch it. But what else is new?
I think
for
that's
my household?
A lot of people's relationship with this film.
Yeah.
One of the overriding things people say, as I say, particularly in the UK, is that this is quite scarring for a lot of kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we might touch on later on, but I think that's a lot of people's takeaway from this film is, oh God, like, it really scarred me as a kid, that.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I do agree. So what about you then? What are some of the things that you liked about this?
Yeah, so overall, I thought this was okay. I enjoyed bits of it, enjoyed a lot of it. There's something, I think, just to touch on what you said there about the animation style, that was a real standout for me. There's something about this and the execution that was really, the word that came to my mind was rustic.
Mm.
Like, it reminded me of The Snowman.
Mm-hmm.
We've not long had Christmas, but that sort of, it's simple, but it's effective and it's emotional and that sort of thing. And I think a lot of that is down to a couple of things. So the look and the sound of the film. So I really enjoyed, like I say, that rustic feel, the animation style. It's quite simple. It's, you know, it picks its colour palettes. It's autumnal in the way it feels. It felt a lot like at times you were looking at, this sounds like a really stupid thing to say to some about animation, but it felt like you were looking at moving paintings, which I know is essentially what animation is. But we are in a day and age now where we're getting fired animation every other month, and it's all CGI and it's all this and all that. And there's a film I really want to watch. It's been on my list for ages, called, I think it's called Loving Vincent or Love Vincent. I've never seen it, but it's essentially a biopic, or it's a film about Van Gogh. And all of it is told through oil paintings, and they painstakingly animated each oil painting in the style of Van Gogh to tell a story about Van Gogh. And I've wanted to watch it for ages, and this has made me really go, oh, you know what, I might watch that soon.
Yeah, time to put it on the top of the list.
That sort of thing. I just remember hearing it come out, thinking that sounds really interesting, and never quite getting to it. So, yeah, the world it created felt really appropriate in the way that it looked. Add to that the way that it sounds as well. So the music is great, like you've said, but I loved all the sound editing, particularly in the first half of the film when it's all crunchy leaves and birds chirping and digging in the soil and all that sort of stuff. It felt, you know, it really felt like it sucked you into this world where these rabbits are living as if they think that they are their own society. Well, they are their own society. Just to touch on the animation of the rabbits themselves as well. As you said, I'm no leading expert. However, I do have two rabbits, two house rabbits, who, and also we've had rabbits before as well. And I can basically testify to the fact that the way that they move in this is spot on, even down to the way that they fight. The only thing that's inaccurate about the way that they fight in this film is that it's too slow, but that's because the animation style would not possibly let you have captured the speed of it. So little story for you. So we've got two house rabbits, and it would have been about 18 months ago now, one of them got poorly. She got a really upset tummy. And they have a lot of stomach problems, rabbits, and they can go into what's called stasis. So if you don't make sure that they're, eating and pooing, basically, they die. So within 48 hours, and because they are prey animals, they don't show you. They don't show you that they are unwell. So you often don't know that they're unwell until they're really unwell, because they start to freeze up. Anyway, she wasn't well. Took her to the vets. She had a couple of days in the vets, a few bits of steroids and other things, and she was fine. She's still with us now. They are quite old now, so however long we'll have them will be a blessed time and all that sort of stuff. But she was the dominant one. She was the dominant rabbit of the two. And when we got them back, because Muggins here didn't think to take them both to the vets.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, as I say, I'm not an expert. This might have happened anyway. And if there are any rabbit experts listening, I'd love to know if this would have happened anyway, because it'll make me feel a lot better. But basically, when we got back, the alpha, the dominant rabbit, had been ill and out of the house for a few days. Mm-hmm. So they got back, and me not knowing, put them back together. And honestly, they just started scrapping. It was like a whirlwind. God. Now they play fine now.
Yeah.
But just by chasing each other. And you can tell that they're playing, because they just stop and go and sit down. Mm-hmm. And they still snuggle each other and all the things that rabbits do. But at the time, it was really scary. And essentially what's happened is the dominance is swapped.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one is now the dominant one. So, but let me tell you that my point I'm making is that I've seen rabbits fight. I've seen rabbits move a lot. And it is pretty well done in this film. Although it's really hard to stop them fighting, because you've got to grab one of them. But it's like a whirlwind of fur, I can tell you. I tried to get a video of it. Couldn't even get a video of it, because I wanted to show my partner, who was working away. I was going, what do I do?
Oh, God.
But in the end, obviously, I just split them up. It was like, I'm talking like 10 seconds, because it would have been.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Fatal for one of them.
And they're both girls as well, aren't they? Girls, so that's interesting, yeah. Girls, sorry, females.
Yeah.
Don't.
Women be fighting, do you know what I mean? You know what it's like. So anyway, back to the film. I really enjoyed the world creation side of things as well. So one of the bits I had forgotten, so my sort of recollection of the film was, it's about some rabbits. One of them has a vision that the Warren's going to be destroyed, so they go on a journey. I'd completely forgotten that they have their own society. Mm-hmm. In terms of the, you know, there's like you say, there's like rank and rules and prison and punishment. Mm-hmm. And religion as well, the fact that they've got their own religion, so that their god is Frith. So it's like Hayes all the way says things like, oh, for Frith's sake, like, so that, you know, I really enjoyed that. And that look and that sound, I thought, really helped create that world that we're talking about. So not only did it feel real in the sense that it's set in the real world, it's actually set in a real place, but also it helped you really buy into that that religion and that story and that world and stuff like that. Voice acting helped as well. I thought it was weirdly, I don't know if this is just the style, the direction, or if they were going for it this way because it was a kids' film, but I don't know about you, I found a lot of the voice acting to be weirdly soothing and calming in places.
John Hurt is always soothing.
I mean,
right?
He's got an amazing voice, as does Denham Elliott, who plays one of the bunnies. But like, there's bits where it's like, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And you're like,
they're very calm, aren't they?
It's like ASMR, it's like rabbit ASMR. But yeah, so lots to like in there, I think. Okay, so let's move on to things that we would perhaps change about Watership Down or that we didn't like about Watership Down. Alice, Watership Down or Watership Up?
Good one. Fire Boat Up. There you go. That's the game we're playing, Josh. I can bring it.
Go on, what didn't you like? What would you change? What didn't you like?
So
not grim enough.
I mean, plenty grim. So there's like a few smaller points here that sort of inform a much larger point. And I do believe that I'm not alone in this opinion. And ultimately, it's the big old question of who is this film for, right?
Yeah.
So some elements of the script, of the dialogue between characters, the story and character development are really simple, as if it has been designed to be understood easily by children. But this doesn't quite align with how traumatic and frankly just horrible some of the moments in this film are. So like I said already, the moment with the rabbit's warren is getting filled in, and then there's the implication that Bigwig is free to have his way with any of the does controlled by the general, and the climax of the film where the rabbits are tearing each other apart literally to death, and you get all of this without any of the film being fun or lighthearted or really that enjoyable. So it's not getting balanced out by anything. And I wonder if maybe there's an argument in there somewhere that Kiha, so the seagull, is meant to provide some of the comic relief, right? But I just found him damn irritating, to be honest. And I think, and I don't know if you caught this, but I think maybe at one point he tells one of the rabbits to piss off.
He does tell one of the rabbits to piss off.
I'm pretty sure this a U or a PG? I think it was one and then became the other. Like,
it's
weird,
a bit like
that,
how
wasn't it?
It's a bit like how in some U's they'll say arse.
Yeah,
I guess.
Piss off, though. I was like, did he just say piss off? So there's that. And then ultimately, it just kind of feels like you're getting the extreme of both ends. So I personally, I think I would have preferred it if it just fully lent into being more adult. And I think if more like attention to detail with some of the elements of the script, and especially like the character development, which I do think is really lacking, I think would have just elevated this film even more. And I think when I think about Farthingwood and I'm sorry to keep comparing the two, but there are some really complex conversations in Farthingwood, and you do get some really great character development. I know it was obviously over many, many series, but that's fully a kids' TV show. So I think ultimately I'm just a little bit disappointed at what feels to me like a bit of a missed opportunity to lean fully into making this, you know, this is a complex story, we're conveying complex messages, and here are complex characters. Mm. Whereas actually, it's a bit of a complex story, but the characters are not very complex. Mm. Like, the conversations are just really basic, and it's just like, oh, we need kids to understand this. But then also, look at these rabbits killing each other. Like, it's unclear who this is meant to be for.
I know what you mean. Like you said, there's an element of, because I think it's definitely for kids.
Yeah, which is weird,
I think they've just gone, it's for kids, but we're trying to teach them something, so let's scare it into them sort of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I mean, like we've already touched on, that is definitely the main takeaway that a lot of people will say about this film. I think if you ask people of the right age who will have seen these as kids first time round, they will go, oh, scare the shit out of me. So I think that thing of who is it for, I think you're right. I think it's for kids. I think it comes back to something I'm going to touch on as well, which is that I think it's more indicative of a different time and how much was expected of kids in certain ways and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm waffling a little bit now, but I do think that it's probably just, it's four kids, but they just try to scare them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get that. But that's kind of it for me. It was just in terms of some of the simplicity around it. I thought it just would have enhanced the whole experience if certain things had been a little bit more complex and a bit more sophisticated, perhaps. So what about you then? Anything you didn't like or that you changed?
A few bits, yeah. So definitely would agree with that in terms of it is a little bit grim, and I could see how it would scare kids. I don't know if it'd scare kids now. I think it might still scare the younger kids. They'll always be scared by something if you're five. Whereas I think maybe an 8-year-old in the 70s might have been scared of it, an 8-year-old of it now, probably on Grand Theft Auto anyway.
Well, good point. Yeah.
Kids today, Alice. Do you know what I mean?
So for me, it
was a bit dated in places. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit dated in its style and a bit dated in it. So I liked the style. I like that rustic style, but it was very slow and soft in places. Mm-hmm. It felt a little bit like at times you'd be sort of being read a bedtime story. So that did lead me to feel a little bit bored in places. I mean, I know it's definitely not aimed at me, but it did make me feel a little bit bored in places. And I can see how if you showed this version to a kid now, I don't think they're staying off an iPad.
To some extent.
I don't know, every kid is different. Some kids might, you know, kids surprise you. Some can be absolutely hooked. So I think there's that. There's an element as well. There's a little bit of lack of exposition in places, particularly around at the start. So all the characters' names, and there is stuff about their religion. But I did have to follow bits of it along as I was watching it on Wikipedia to be like, right, so who's that? And what's that? What's the mythology around it? So I really liked the mythology, but I thought they could have done with a little bit more of that and a little bit less maybe conversations about what they were going to do or whatever, you know, balance it up that way a little bit.
It's
so
that's definitely like the curse of these adaptations, isn't
I think
it?
It's
of
the
taking
age. I think
something
it,
from
yeah.
books
yeah.
taking something from the book to into the screen.
Oh, definitely.
There's
definitely.
Always going to be those missing elements, and it's like how much detail do you go into, what do we cover, because you know, if you're adapting a book, well, ideally you'd have all the time in the world and as much time as it takes. But, you know, we don't have that. It's an hour and a half or whatever it is. So it's about sort of trying to cram it all in there. But through that, you lose a lot of it, which is a shame.
I think there's definitely an element in that. And I think there's definitely just an element of it's time and it's aged.
Mm.
You know, it is almost 50 years old. So it's bound to look a little bit older. I mean, there are animations that we've done that are more recent than this that I enjoyed less, like All Dogs Go to Heaven. I enjoyed this probably a little bit more than that. So, but there is just an element of it's a little bit slow, it's a little bit dated. And then that lack of, like you say, that lack of exposition, that sort of adaptation for the book definitely comes through. But, you know, it's still a bit of a classic, isn't it?
Oh, there we go. I've done another category accidentally. It's also a classic. Good for me.
Anyway, then we'll move on to talking about the critical reception then. Alice, I haven't seen the critical reception.
Okay.
Thoughts? I imagine it did well.
Uh-huh.
So what would I give it? 6 out of 10, maybe, something like that, around that mark, maybe a little lower. What do
that
I think?
That hurts me a little bit, Josh.
Oh, really? That's quite low. That low for you, is it? Yeah, I mean, that's not me saying it's bad. It's just why I give it. I can definitely see why it's a classic. I can definitely see why it's been emotionally affecting for people. Mm. I did think it was a little slow. I probably covered it from at the wrong time and wrong age. How do I think it did? Probably quite well. Probably better than I would give it. So I think you're probably looking at like a high 7 or 8 for this. Okay. So what do you reckon then? What would you give it and how did it do?
What would I give it? I wonder, I think because of in terms of the impact, like the impact that it has on me, I think it's got to be an 8. So
right.
Like I cried maybe 4 times whilst watching this. And so I've got to sort of take that into account. I know that obviously a lot of that's to do with nostalgia. I mean, I cried at fucking Ewoks of the Battle for Endor. Do you know what I mean? So that's not a good barometer of sort of how good something is. It's how much it made Alice cry, because I'll cry at any old shit apparently. But it still hits me in the moment where Hazel gets shot and then Fiverr, they break the news to Fiverr and he's like, no, he's not dead. Like he just knows, he just sort of feels it. And then he goes to find him, like, fucking hell. that just breaks me sort of thing. So I think I'm comfortably giving this an 8.
8? Okay. I don't think that's unfair. Yeah. I think nostalgia's doing quite a bit of the lifting as well.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, certainly.
So how did it do then?
So on IMDb, at the time of recording, it gets 7.6.
Okay.
And then over on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics give it 79%, and then the audience give it 86%.
Wow.
So the audience like it even more than they like it even more than I do, which I was surprised to see that. I thought the critics would be higher.
Yeah, so that's almost bang on 8 out of 10. So that's almost bang on what you said and what I thought it would do. So that's just over. But yeah, I mean, it's not. You picked it because you wanted to talk about it.
And I think, what do you think about my argument that it might be underseen? Obviously,
I think you,
people know the name.
I think you bob on there. I think that people know about it. I think it's one of those things that people know what it is, but don't go and watch it.
Yeah, feels that way, doesn't it? Yeah.
So I think it's, we've touched on that before with other films of people being like, you know, people know what a Charlie Chaplin film is.
Uh-huh,
and if you said, what's this out of? They're like, oh, it's from the one where he's sort of Hitler.
Yeah.
But have you ever watched it? Nah. Same with, a lot of people will know the shower scene from Psycho or scene from Singing in the Rain, but they've never gone and watched it.
Or like Marilyn Monroe as well. Like Marilyn everyone Monroe, knows Diamonds who she is
best friend and
what she looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But have they seen it sort of thing?
So do I think it's underrated? No, I think that for me is probably overrated.
Yeah,
but
that's fair.
That's not why you picked it. I definitely think it's probably, maybe not underseen now, but I definitely think it's on its way to becoming. Actually, no, do you know what? I reckon it probably is underseen now. I don't think many people are probably seeking this out now with all the content that's out there specifically for kids. I mean, it isn't on anything. It's not even on. It's not on Disney Plus, Netflix. Wasn't even on Prime.
Google Play, which usually has everything.
Actually, do you know what? Yeah, I'll give you that. I think it's. Forget the rating argument. I think it is underseen.
Good, because you know what else as well. It's not fun, and it's not fun to watch.
No.
So no one's putting this on for a good time. So all I can think is the only people watching it are the people who've seen it when it come out or when they were kids. And are thinking, oh yeah, let's give that another watch. And then they watch it like, fucking hell, why have I watched this again?
Or maybe rabbits watch it as a 28 days later type thing for them.
Yeah. This is what'll happen. This is what'll happen to you if you misbehave. Well, there we go. Watership Down. Appropriately rated for me, a little bit overrated for Josh, but I think definitely an argument there that it could be underseen. So, Josh, enough of that. Enough of these killer rabbits.
Mm.
What are we going to be watching for next week? Hopefully something a bit nicer.
So next week, Alice, you may or may not have paid attention to this, what with your current condition. But it is, in fact, Valentine's Day.
Oh, crikey, so it is. No, yes. I hadn't thought about that, to be honest. No,
why would you?
Why was I? I got bigger fish to fry.
To be honest, me neither.
I'm not trying to woo anyone, that's for sure.
You've won that battle. That's over.
Done it.
It's time to win the war now. So next week is Valentine's Day, not on Tuesday when the episode's released, but the day after. So I was thinking about what's an appropriate film for Valentine's Day. And I've had one on my list for a little while that I've wanted to do I think is a perfect film for Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
And I think it deserves a little bit more love as well. And I think it's up there with possibly, and I'm going for a big swing early here, the perfect rom-com.
Whoa, holy moly. Okay.
And that film is Watership. No, it's... that film is Crazy Stupid Love.
Okay. It's got Emma Stone in it.
It does have Emma Stone, Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore, and Kevin Bacon in it, and obviously other actors as well.
So that's
what we'll be talking about next week for our Valentine's Day episode. Yeah, so join us next week. We'll be talking about Crazy Stupid Love. If you've not seen it, give it a watch. It's perfect for those cozy Valentine's Day nights if you're trying to impress someone, or put it on in the background and both sit on your phones if you're not trying to impress anyone. that's what most of us do. We're all deeply miserable. We will see you next week. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. If you just search for Just Films and That on Facebook, Twitter, X, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, you'll find us, engage with us, follow us, we try and put regular content out there as well. So hopefully you like it. If you go to the episode description notes here as well, you'll find our Patreon. If you are interested in getting extended episodes, ad-free episodes, episodes a day early, then click the link. Tier start at £1 a month, and all of them include extended ad-free episodes, which you will get a day early. We're on the television as well, aren't we, Alice?
We are indeed. Every Friday evening from 6 p.m, you can find us on the local TV network. So if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool, or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. And I'm also uploading all the videos to Dailymotion. So if you head on over there and search Just Films and that, you'll be able to see exactly what it is we're up to.
Yes, lots of ways to see us, hear us, get in touch with us. But as ever, we'll see you next week. And thank you very much for listening. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio!
Bye!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.